Nautilus. Share this topic of one true God regarding to study our base doctrine for this NYTS. So start from yesterday, we do some introduction about God. So we have to understand God. Right? God is the source of life. He used his word to create the whole universe, prepare a wonderful environment for the one whom he loved, for humankind. So all life comes from God. So even though now this technology is so advanced, but we still cannot make any life out of just the material. Is a source of all blessings. So no matter what we need, we can ask on this one true God. He is a source of wisdom. He is a source of love. He is the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Okay, so God is so true, near to us. He wants to, just like a father, want to love his children. So, but we cannot forget, God is the judge of all. He is not only God, only love, but he also is righteous. He is righteous God. So he desire his children must be just, be righteous. So he will judge everything. So we have to always consider this loving Father is going to ask everything from us. If we have done anything that he wants to, he will ask, he will judge. We have to, one day, have to report to him, always remember. Okay, so, God is one, right? God is one. So, God is something we can experience, we believe, we know he is so merciful. So from your yesterday homework, I believe, except the third year, but you all finished your homework, right? So you write your personal or your family testimony about God, about how you feel or experience God's love, God's miracle, or how you receive Holy Spirit to experience God's love. So is there anyone volunteer to share with us some of your testimony or your experience about God? Parasite, anyone volunteer? If not, I will name. You have to say to us, so everyone will enjoy your testimony. Okay? Any volunteer? This is a golden opportunity, you know, to testify, to glorify God. Why not? Why not? Brothers? Any? No? Joseph, how about you? Can you? Okay, please come.
My God was not my God. The God was just my parents or my grandparents' God. However, before I went to the United States, I made a determination in God that I would serve, or I would try my best to attend his service and go to worship him on Saturday, Sabbath day. So even though I was sent to Connecticut, with to a homestaying family, And the nearest church was in Queens, which is in New York, which was 3 hours away from the Hong Sing house by train. I kept bothering my Hong Sing family to let me go to church. But the Hong Sing family was Catholic, so they did not want me to go to True Jesus Church. They kept, you know, oh, you should just go to the Korean Catholic Church that they go to. But thank God that through my mom's call to local pastor in Queens Church, the pastor actually visited us and then talked with my Hong Sing family for like 2 to 3 hours, and then they finally got acceptance of me going to church every Saturday. So, but even after that, they kept, you know, trying to convince me to not go to church because it would take a lot of my time, spending 6 hours on train and stuff like that. So, but thank God through fighting for my own faith, I was able to know God more. And because of that, like, I need to spend a lot of time and spend a lot of effort to just go to church on Saturday and worship God. So that's why the seventh-day worship was so precious to me. And whenever I sat down on the pew and then, you know, in the service, the fact that I was in the church really touched me, and really God spoke to me during that like time of loneliness, I guess. And after that, God showed a lot of miracles through my life in Connecticut. I was like, many times I got sick, but I did not, I talked to my Hong Sing parents that I would not need any medicine because God would help me. And then miraculously all the time, God like made me heal. And also a lot of education or physical or spiritually, God also helped me throughout the entire journey when I was in Connecticut studying for six months. Yeah. So thank God that I was able to know God more personally throughout that experience. May all the glory and honor be unto His holy name.
President, thank God. You can see how a person experienced God through miracles and through worshiping God in their heart. So it's a very personal experience. Once we know it, we experience it, we know God exists. God is hearing all our prayer. So is there any God? Yes, right? It's God as well. This God whom we worship now. So this is a faith. This faith has to be strengthened and increased more and more. Through all our journey in this life, we can see this God. We have to truly know Him and then build this relationship with Him. So we can get closer and closer. So wonderful. So I was very impressed by Father Joseph, when I first went to Queens, I just heard a brother pray very, very earnestly, and you know, on the Sabbath, I saw, as a young man. Then later I know, because he came to join the Sabbath from far away. He spent times to come to church, so he precious this treasure this time so great. So this is wonderful. How about sister? Do we have any volunteer to share how you experience God? Sister side. Anyone? No? I will do it tomorrow because we have limited time. Tomorrow we will have sister to come to share your testimony, your experience about God. Okay, so let's go back to our topic. God is one. God appeared. appear to man in Old Testament. So that's why God appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, right, to Jacob. And he just said to them, I am the Almighty God. You must be perfect. God is a glorious God to Abraham. And then God called upon Abraham to leave his home country. And through the prophecy of the prophets, God also wanted to show people, reveal himself to people. So God's manifestation in this prophecy, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the son, the baby will come. This baby is so special, the son. Okay, so in John chapter 1, 14, when time is come, then this God's manifestation fulfilled. So that's why when the hour is coming, and then now he is. So in John chapter 4, 23, Jesus said, the time is coming, and now it is. The time of God's manifestation to whole human being. So we know now God wants to save his people. So Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Now, when time is fulfilled, God's plan is at the hand, and Jesus came, right? Turn to Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time has come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. 5. To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. When time is, the fullness of time is come. Okay, so actually, this God come into this world in flesh is actually according to God's plan of salvation. And about name, when we know God is one, then in the Old Testament time we see the name of the only God. Is it necessary for this only one God with a name? Is it necessary? If you are only one, do you need a name? No, not at all. Right? If on this earth you are the only one, you don't need a name, because I am who I am, right? So God, he says it, I am who I am. So in Old Testament time, there's no name revealed to human. God purposely said, why do you need name? It's unnecessary. That's why in Genesis 32, when Jacob, he asked the man, because later he recognized, wow, this is not a human being, it's a special. He asked, what is your name? And then God asked, why do you ask my name? No need. In Judges 13, Manoah, Samson's parents also wanted to know, what's your name? But God just answered, it's wonderful. My name is wonderful. So no name revealed, right? In Exodus chapter 6, 2 to 3, also, God purposely don't want to tell his name. So the real name was hidden. The true name will be revealed through the Son. So I have declared to them your name and will declare it. John 17 verse 26. Jesus, he said, listen to this verse. In his departing prayer for all his disciples, he mentioned in John 17 verse 26. John 17 verse 26. Sister, Rebecca, can you read? 26, right? I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. So Jesus, he himself declared the name of the Father. Okay, so the only one God in Old Testament. This is only, it's emphasized, the only one. So the one true God, El, singular form of God in Hebrew. So in the Bible verse, you can turn to this verse by yourself to see it. It's a singular form of God. And then this Elohim, the plural form of God. So actually it signifies God has multiplied and possesses infinite glory, wisdom, and power. Sometimes we have to be careful about the literary, about the word itself. Sometimes it's plural form or singular form. But plural form, not necessarily is multiple of God. No. God says, I am only one. And then the word Yahweh or YHWH, the name, because we have to go through the name. People want to know name always. So the name used in Old Testament, before this true name was revealed. So Exodus 3:13-15, the Lord said, I am who I am. He used this way to tell Moses. Just show Moses about his essence, right? I am who I am, no name. So then the word become Yahweh, in the Hebrew, this is YHWH, and this is actually is a short form of the, you know, this phrase, I am who I am. They use this four letter to represent. So it is a God's essence and its everlasting existence. God did not actually tell Moses about his true name. So yeah, YHWH, and then about Adonai. Actually, this is the Jews replaced Yahweh with Adonai in about BC 300. So, meaning the Lord, it's not a name, actually, it's a title. So, they thought Yahweh is the real name of God, so they don't want to break the third commandment. The third commandment, we cannot call God's name in vain, right? So they dare not to speak Yahweh. They consider Yahweh is the true name. So they use Adonai to replace it. So the Lord actually is Yahweh in most cases. So in the original text of Old Testament, in Psalms chapter 1, chapter 8, 16, you can see it's talking about Adonai. Then Jehovah is a shorter form of the JHBH. It's not found in the original scriptures. It's actually a man-made term. Jehovah is someone who created his name. And this was created by Jewish scribes in the 12th century by combining vowels with the consonant to form a word, Jehovah, replace Yahweh. So it's a historical man-made word. So that's why now most of the Bible version, they replace this Jehovah with the Lord. Okay. Then Jesus. When Jesus came, the name is given. When the time is come, then the name is given to Joseph. Okay. So Jesus is Joshua. So in Matthew chapter 1:21, it's talking about Jesus is going to save his people from sin. Matthew chapter 1:21. 1:21. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. So Jesus, this means Joshua means salvation, right? So it's a salvation of God, the identification of the one true God in flesh. So let's look, Jesus, his name, actually, in John chapter 5, let's, in Matthew 1:23, it says, it's Emmanuel, right? His name, Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us, God with us. Jesus. And then John chapter 5, verse 43. Let's turn to John 45. John 5, 43. John chapter 5, 43. 43. Father Jonathan.
I have come to my father's name, you do not accept. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept.
Okay. I have come in my father's name, and you do not receive me. If anyone comes in his own name, him you will receive. It's ridiculous, right? But here say I come in is my father's name. So Jesus is the name of my father. And in John 17, we first verse before actually, and this name is for salvation. The name, the only name we can call upon and to be saved. So Acts 4, chapter 4, verse 12, under the sun, under in all of the names, only Jesus we can call upon. Ask Jesus help. This is the only name. And Jesus is God manifest in flesh. He is the mystery of God in 1 Timothy chapter 3, 16. God manifest in flesh, Jesus. And the Word was God and the Word was made flesh. John chapter 1, verse 1. Keep emphasize. Jesus, He is God manifest in flesh. And is on earth but still in heaven. So Jesus is still is on actually is in heaven but at the same time he's on earth. So John 3:13. No one actually came to let's turn to this verse. John 3:13. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. The Son of Man who is in heaven. Who is in heaven? So this is Jesus. The Son and the Father are one. The Son and the Father are one. Okay, so Jesus. Is God manifest in flesh. Now, so our belief, our basic belief, number one, right? Our article of faith is, can we do it together? One, two, three. Who died on the cross for the remission of our sins. It was resurrected on the third day. Jesus is the one and the only Savior of mankind, the creator of heaven and earth, and the only true God. We emphasize Jesus, He is the one and the only Savior. He's the only one. And He is the creator of heaven and earth, and the only true God. Some Christians, they question about our faith, say, then where is the Father? You believe Jesus, and where is the Father? They consider Jesus as the Son of God. And where is the Father? Father and the Son are one. So that's why Jesus is the only true God. We have to make it clear why we don't believe so-called Trinity. We don't use this term Trinity in our doctrine. We just emphasize one true God, because in the whole Bible, you see this one true God, this the term one, only one, repeat again and again, from Old Testament through New Testament. But we never see this term of Trinity, because Trinity itself just confuses all of us. It actually mislead people about God is spirit, God is one. So the background about Trinity. This doctrine Trinity was originated by early church fathers in 2nd and 3rd century for against the heresies. Because in the later of the apostolic time, about end of the 1st century, so many different beliefs about Jesus appear and has been circulated among the churches. Why? Because the Holy Spirit seems not the work of Holy Spirit is not that significant, yeah, at that moment, right? We can see from Revelation, the letter to seven churches, they describe in the churches so many different kind of the teaching has been inferred, the members, right? So meaning, members, they don't really rely on the Holy Spirit. They don't pray earnestly, you know, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit we call the Spirit of Truth. If we really rely on the Holy Spirit, then the truth will become more clear, right? We will understand more and more and deeper about God, about Jesus. But on the other hand, if we don't rely on Holy Spirit, then somehow we will be confused by ourselves also. So that's why nowadays, even in TJC, if we don't really rely on Holy Spirit, maybe a few years later, 10, 20 years later, our concept, our faith about Jesus, about salvation, will gradually change it. But we may not aware of it. It's very dangerous. That's why in the end time, we have to spend time in prayer. So someone may consider, how come NYTS in the US, you have to pray so long, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. But in other countries, there may be only 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes only. But here, why we have to pray? We want to everyone to pray longer, spend more time in the praying the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will guide us into the truth. In this society, there are so many philosophers, so many different thoughts, try to influence, to penetrate through all kind of media into our life, and then want to convince everyone to become their ideas. So that's why, even in our own church, some people, they just question about God, about Jesus, about Holy Spirit, about everything, and then turn to a conclusion, say, no God. Everything is just fake. Can you imagine this kind of the deceitfulness? But what we understand, this is the work of Satan. Satan is trying to take it away, our faith from our heart. So this Trinity, actually original to defense for the faith. So at that moment, at that time, so many different kind of heresies are related to Jesus. Divinity in apostolic time, let's turn to this back to here. It's adoptionism. Adoptionism. Jesus was adopted as God's son, either at his baptism or resurrection or his ascension. Jesus was chosen because of his sinless devotion to the will of God. So they can see that Jesus is not true. He's not God. He's just only a man. Right? He has been adopted by God because he's holy. He's so righteous. He's good. So then adopted as a son. So he's actually a man. Do you believe? Do you believe? Other religion, they believe Jesus is a holy man, right? They consider Jesus a man. But unfortunately, Jesus is not only a man. Yes, he's holy, but he is God himself. But they don't understand why this holy God come into this man on earth, still become a holy man, and he is in the heaven. He is God, want to save his people out of sin. They don't understand. So they deny the pre-existence of Christ, and therefore his deity. So Jesus is a man. He's a man just like everyone else, right? But it's not. Jesus exists, pre-exists before creation. Then another heresy called Doxasticism. This is called an image, 幻影, so 幻影, 就是一个影子, image, 一个影子而已, according to the phenomena of Christ, his historical and the bodily existence, and then above all the human form of Jesus, all was together mere semblance without any true reality. It's just an image. So it's not true. So they consider Jesus is seems to be human, and then his physical body was a phantasm. 这是一个幻象. So this kind of heresy related to Gnosticism. Gnos is we. So Christ's body was not human, but either a phantasm or a real but celestial substance, and his suffering was only apparent. So then the suffering of Jesus is just something, it's not real. Then we say, oh, Jesus suffered for me, and then the faith has been, this kind of the faith will be destroyed. If Jesus not a real, he doesn't have a real body, and then he's suffering, and then he has been crucified, is just a fake. Right? No, but Jesus is a real man. He really suffered for us, for our sin. So the concept of Trinity, God in three persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and they are in unity. God in three persons, they consider persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But actually, Holy Spirit is not a person, right? Holy Spirit is a spirit. But in order to make this Father and Son and Holy Spirit come together, they just put everything down into the material world, into the material concept about things, substance, one, two, three, and divide. See, but they understand God is only one God, and they want to make so called one and three in one trinity. So three in one is three. So Father is God, God is Father, Son is God, and God is the Son. Of it is like, and Holy Spirit is God, and God is the Holy Spirit. So equal. But each person has a separate personality. They say co-equal. Personality. So if you say person, then you definitely have personality. Just like you, every one of you, you have your own personality. You are different. So your temper is different from others. Your thought is different from others. So let's separate existence. Separate. They are equal in position, glory, and authority. The Son, the Father, the Holy Spirit, they are separate in different positions, but they are equal. Equally with glory, authority, position, and power. So are could reign eternally from beginning until forever. So their belief in this Trinity, actually, they know Father is forever, Son is forever, right? Holy Spirit is forever. And they co-reign together about this whole thing. But since they are separate into different persons, now the Son is the Father, right? Because it's a separate, different person. So of course, Son is the Father, Father is the Son. Then the Spirit of Son is not the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is not. The Holy Spirit is not the Spirit of the Father. So this is how they believe, because they treat this God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as a person with personality. They are separate. Of course, they are different. In this physical world, they are different. Son is Son, Father is Father, right? But what is the problem now? So this Trinity actually is a wise theory to defend the wrong theism. Because some people, they put God become three, Holy Spirit is God, right? Father is God, Son is God, and it seems three gods. But they say, no, this is not three gods, one, only one. They want to uphold God's unity and oneness. Their thought, their intention is very good. One of defense for this one true God, for this concept of oneness. But the problem is, they neglect the apostle principle, who don't declare the testimony of God with human excellency of speech or wisdom. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 5, is the first verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. When Paul, he wrote a letter to the member in Corinth, he specially emphasized he dare not to use his own wisdom to explain the spiritual things. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. Brother Thomas, can you read aloud? So today, if we adopt the principle of Paul, if we face any different kind of heresies in the church, what are we going to do? What is our approach? Say if someone now declares some different thought, different belief among the church, what are we going to do? According to this passage. Turn to God, how? Holy Spirit. Rely on the power. So in verse 4, right? Verse 4. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive word of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So today, if all different kind of thought circulate in the church, what do we do? We are not going to just use another term or try to use a theory to defend it, because it will create even more chaos in the church. But through Holy Spirit, through the power of Holy Spirit, people can understand. If we really pray in depth, we will understand actually how do we experience God through Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will guide us to understand the truth. So Paul, he just said, I don't rely on my own accent of speech or wisdom. But in reality, Paul, he was so knowledgeable, right? He Well, he received well educated through the best teachers. But he said, I came to you in fear, right? In fear, in much trembling, with weakness. He don't want to use his own wisdom. But in the early century, they just the so-called church fathers, they went to looking for other theory from other religion and adopt this Trinity into the church and create this, the entire concept to defend the heresies. So from beginning, actually, they went into the wrong way, wrong direction. So Trinity present the Godhead as three persons in one God, neither can conform to the biblical teaching or the term that is it used. Because there's no Trinity, the term in Bible. Right? People created. So they attempt to study God from a physical perspective. Actually, it's wrong from the outset. From the beginning, they run into the wrong direction. So nowadays, because we have Holy Spirit, we can rely on Holy Spirit. If some other thought or some other teachings appeared in the church, we are going to use Holy Spirit to defend. We use the truth to make it more clear. So we are not going to make other comparisons. Oh, you see, you use that one. Which one is better? No, Holy Spirit will guide us into the truth. Right? So this is the wrong way of Trinity. Their intention is good, but unfortunately it makes people even more confused. Alright, so time's up. We are continuing for the next section. Let's kneel down and pray to give sense about God's guidance.